Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so excited to hear how God is using these messages to change lives. If you'd like to share how God has blessed you through this ministry, visit us at arlingtonfm.com. Click on My Story and follow the prompts. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry financially, you can do so by clicking on the Give icon on our homepage. Now for today's message.
Well, it's so good to share this time before we share a more intimate time with our smaller families. And, I really wanted to, before I share what God has put on my heart for this Christmas Eve evening, I did want to invite you to come back again next year. You know, we like to sing this song that says, "We wish you a Merry Christmas and a..." That's right. And we do wish you that. But, you know, it's one of those things that's much easier said than done. And I think all of us know who have ever tried New Year's resolutions that it's easy to start well. But to actually go through the year and come to the end and say, you know, it was a really happy year for me and for mine. And I want to go through a series with you through the month of January where we talk about what happy people know. Because there is a way to live through the ups and downs of life and experience happiness. And God wants that for us. And specifically, we're going to take our time and go through one of the New Testament letters called the Letter to the Philippians. And in this letter, the Apostle Paul gives us some amazing insights about how to live happy every day in spite of what's going on in our lives. And in fact, Paul writes this letter from a prison cell. And he talks about how to have the kind of relationships that renew and replenish us. He talks about how to live with a forward lean to our lives, pondering and learning from the past, but learning how to move forward. He talks about how to not sabotage ourselves through the things that we do or the ways that we think. And so I want to encourage you, month of January, every Sunday, we're going to talk about what happy people know based on this amazing New Testament letter. But tonight we're talking about light that shines in the middle of the darkness. And we've been doing it this last month here at the church under the heading, "The Best Christmas Ever." That it's actually possible to have the best Christmas ever if we get what Christmas is really about. And it's really about God's light coming into our darkness. Speaking of light and darkness, anybody see the Last Jedi movie yet? Let me see your hands. Who's gone to see that yet? Okay, who's going to go see it before the new year? Okay, some people get really into going to see Star Wars movies like this group. Any of you like that? I'm more like this next picture if I'm going to dress up. I once wore a burlap bag for a Halloween costume, and I got all kinds of compliments on it. But I think this next picture is going a bit too far. I think that's called animal abuse. But this idea of light contending against darkness is one of the great themes of Christmas. In fact, one of the prophecies that was spoken hundreds of years before Christ was born says this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned for them," that something has changed. And a few verses later, the prophet Isaiah tells us what it is that brings that light and causes that change. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And the one truth I want to point us to together tonight before we have a candle lighting ceremony is, what's in a name? What's the importance of the name of this child? Now, I mentioned earlier that my wife and I have 4 children. And it was interesting, our naming process with those 4 kids. The first child We labored over his name for months, if not years, talking about what our firstborn child should be named. And we came up with Benjamin, which is son of my right hand. And we noticed that the second child that came along, we didn't labor over the selection quite so much. And the third one was our only daughter, so, you know, that was kind of a bigger deal. But when our fourth child was born, I kid you not, we stood in the hospital room after he had arrived and said, "Well, what do you think we ought to name him? He looks like a Jim or a Joe." We came up with Stephen. But he's recovered from that after a little therapy. But names matter. And in fact, I saw this one letter that was supposed to be addressed to Santa, and it said, "Dear Satan." Whoops. Got a few letters switched around there. But names are a big deal, and they matter to God. And they especially matter to God when he is naming his only begotten son. And the two names I want us just to ponder tonight are given to us in Matthew chapter 1. The angel appears to Joseph and says, "What is happening in Mary is of God. Don't run from it." And then he says this, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And verse 22 says, "All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel." So we've got a second name there. You should call him Jesus, and you shall also call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, let's think about that first name. You shall name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Many of us know what that refers to. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, do people really need to be saved from their sins? Or maybe more specifically, you're thinking, do I need to be saved from my sins? And the perspective of the Bible is that's a valid question. And the answer to that question is yes, absolutely. See, the perspective in the Bible is that, probably in a word, our sins separate us from what is good. Our sins separate us from the best good in us. Our sins separate us from each other. Very soon in the Bible, after Adam and Eve decided to go against God's counsel, the contention began between them. And if you read the account of the Old Testament, it's story after story after story of how people's sins not only separated them from their best selves, but separated them from each other. But probably the most heinous is our sins separate us from God. They separate us from his life and from his love. And so the answer to that question, do people really need to be saved from their sins? Yes, absolutely. Now, some people think, when they think about Jesus, that he's really mad at sinners, that he's mad at sinful people. The Bible does teach that one day there will be a day of justice when evil that has been done will be atoned for. There'll be a day of reckoning. But that's not this day. In fact, here's what Jesus says about himself. John chapter 3, verse 17. "The Son of Man came not to condemn the world, but to save the world." He couldn't have been more clear. The reason he's named Jesus is because he saves his people from their sins. That means that on our worst days, because his name is Jesus, he is there for us. On our days when we fail the most and we need him the most, he is there because he came to save his people from their sins. The second name is this. Emmanuel means God with us. Anybody here have a nickname that kind of stuck even more than your given name? Anybody want to venture? Want to throw that out? What's your nickname? Yazzie? That's fun. I like that one. I had a friend who had a nickname for everyone. And if he went to this church or was in this room, he would have a nickname for most of you. And for some reason, he called me Buckwheat. And to this day, I don't know how he arrived at that, but in his mind, I was Buckwheat. And my sister, who was named Sharon, was Richie. Well, Jesus has a nickname that will stick with him forever. And it is Emmanuel. God is with us. That is an amazing change. For people who've been separated from God because of their sins, he comes not only to save them from their sin, but to be with them. Someone said Jesus coming to this earth was him closing the gap between us and God. I think that's a good thought. Yes. You know, it's interesting, right before this passage we read, we have the family lineage of Jesus. There are 21 generations that are listed out, and not a one of them is without brokenness. Isn't that interesting? That the Son of God, who came to save people from their sins and be with them, came from a family history that knew betrayal and failure and unfaithfulness and heartache, and Jesus came to identify with that. A friend of mine who is a pastor grew up in a fairly broken home, I guess you would say that. His mom married and remarried 7 times. And he met Christ as a teenager in a youth group much like ours. And he said one day his daughter came home from school and she said, "Dad, we have to do this class project, and you need to help me make up our family tree." And he started counting all of the men in his mother's life, and he said, "Honey, we don't really have a family tree. Ours is more of a bush." And it's a great reminder that regardless of what our history, his story is, he wants to be with us. Emmanuel means God with us. There's a great story in the Old Testament of a prophet named Elijah. And his life was threatened, and he ran in fear out into the wilderness. Literally, he ran 100 miles. It was the first Iron Man event. And he gets out in this barren wilderness, and he's looking for God to show up. And there's a big storm, and God wasn't in the storm. There's a big earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. There's fire. God wasn't in the fire. And then comes, you remember how the story goes? Then comes a gentle whisper, and God was in the whisper. You know what that story says to us? No matter how far we run, God is near to us. Why is that true? Because his name is Emmanuel. And he came to be with us. I want to ask that Ben would come and sing one more song for us. And as he does, would you take these moments and just think about what's in a name? Why is Jesus called Jesus? Because he saves his people from their sin. And maybe tonight there's something in your life that's separating you from your best self. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a failure. Maybe it's a conflict. Jesus wants to save you from that.
Thank you for listening to the Arlington FM Church Podcast. Stay connected with us by visiting arlingtonfm.com or on the Arlington FM Facebook page.